Lovely to be here with you this morning. Forgive my voice, it's coming and going at the moment. Father, please open our hearts and our minds to the wonder of who your Son is for us, for this world, for the heavens and the earth, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's see what we've got. Can we go to the next slide? These words, "He will come in glory," are from the Nicene Creed, which Christians often recite in their Sunday services. They appear in the section where we are affirming that we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ. Christians from a myriad of backgrounds have been publicly declaring this conviction since the 4th century AD, when this creed was agreed at an ecumenical council of church leaders. "He will come again in glory" is saying that beyond living and dying and rising from the dead and ascending to be with his Father, Jesus will return, will come again to this world. And this expectation of Jesus' second coming is based on Jesus' own words while he was alive on this earth, and on teaching enshrined in Scripture, actually in both Old and New Testaments. And this morning, we are just going to look quickly at some of what Jesus said and something of what was given to John, who produced the book of Revelation that comes at the end of our New Testament. So, the words of Jesus, found in Luke 21. Luke, like Mark and Matthew, includes in his gospel one whole chapter which is full of apocalyptic kind of figures and pictures and speech. And this unique chapter is full of language about darkness, destruction, tribulation, death on earth, and the final unveiling of a righteous judge. Jesus was a Jew, and he used such language to get the attention of his fellow Jews. Thank you. There's a little bit of history. The people of Israel had been loved and selected by God to exhibit to the world what the possibility of living in a covenant relationship with our Creator might look like. Unfortunately, except for a few notable exceptions, the people of Israel largely let God and themselves and their contemporaries down. And their failing of God became so bad that instead of a joyful future and safety and prosperity, they ended up conquered and captured and forced into exile. There in exile, in Babylonia, in the 6th and 5th centuries BC, many Jewish people faced up to their failures and began, thank you, to dream of a coming day of the Lord when God would visit the earth and put everything to rights. The last portion of the book of Isaiah contains poetry, especially expressing this kind of hope. In Babylon, when everything seemed so hopeless, apocalyptic language gave voice to a future expectation of an evaluation of humanity by a righteous judge. And in Jesus' day, this apocalyptic language was everywhere. It was an expression of Jewish hope in the midst of darkness. Thank you. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus speaks apocalyptically of signs in the sun and moon and stars, and of the distress of nations, that is terrible darkness and gloom, he ends by promising that humanity will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Jesus is anticipating his second coming, his return, his coming again. He is suggesting that the sovereign power invested in him by the Father is independent of human history. Hope that is true hope will not arrive through some kind of human self-development program, but through himself. When Jesus returns, hope arrives. Glory arrives. God arrives. Thank you. The old man John, sent in exile to an island by the cruel Roman authorities of his day because he was a leader of a Christian community, received a series of visions during a time of worship, and the experience nearly annihilated him. He says that the glory of the one he saw was so strong, that's Ruth, that he fell at his feet as though dead. The person at the core of John's vision declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And John cannot help but sing to all his brothers and sisters to whom he writes in the Roman province of Asia, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him." John is borrowing words from a wonderful Old Testament prophet. And he is saying that what that Old Testament prophet envisioned is what he has seen in his vision of Jesus Christ, who is, he says, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings, including the Roman kings, of the earth. Jesus Christ is returning. He is coming again. "Every eye shall see him" is John's hymn. Indeed, John will conclude his whole account of his visions of Jesus with the words, thank you, "Come, Lord Jesus." These are almost the last words in our Bible. "Come, Lord Jesus." Thank you. Here is the point I need to emphasize this morning, I think. Apocalyptic literature, songs about the Son of Man, aka Jesus, returning to earth, find expression in times of darkness. Welcome. They find expression in times of darkness. So, Old Testament people of Israel in exile in Babylon, Jesus describing nature and nations in increasing distress, John suffering along with his brothers and sisters in a world where the Roman authorities hunted them down to wipe them out. The first church in which I served as an ordained Anglican was in Cairo, Egypt. And it was a privilege in those years to get to know brothers and sisters of the, thank you, Coptic Orthodox Church, the largest indigenous Christian community in the Arabic-speaking world. Thank you. Whilst our Western calendar revolves around the birth of Christ, with the years after the birth of Christ termed Anno Domino, in the year of the Lord, thank you, the Coptic calendar starts from 284 AD. This was the year that Emperor Diocletian, another Roman emperor, the Emperor Diocletian killed masses of Christians around the empire, and it's known as Anno Martyrium, in the year of the martyrs. Persecution has been intertwined in the Coptic Orthodox Church's history and has continued even to this day. The martyrs of the church are commemorated, thank you, in a synaxarium, which is one of the readings at their communion services. Orthodox churches are full of icons, thank you, pictures of brothers and sisters, especially martyred brothers and sisters, who have kept the faith and been killed for their allegiance to Jesus Christ. Whilst Hilary and I lived in Tunis more recently, the number of Coptic Orthodox martyrs was added, as 21 of them were beheaded on the shores of Libya for refusing to deny Christ. 15th of February 2015. Just pause. Thank you. Icons of martyrs speak of the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, as John puts it in Revelation. It is in the context of persecution, of Christian faithfulness under trial, of stress and sorrow and death, that the second coming of Jesus is an eventual glory, an everlasting joy, a hope of renewal, and a just evaluation of all creation by a righteous God. Thank you. So we, perhaps brothers and sisters in the personal or the national or the global darknesses of this morning, join with all those suffering for their faith down the centuries and around the globe, as we dare to declare of Jesus Christ, He will come again in glory. Let me give you a moment. Honor and praise to you, Lord Jesus.